part of my theme today is to talk about preparedness and leadership. And as I go around the country talking about preparedness, preparedness is hard to get people into. For instance, how many of you have a weather radio? A weather radio. Okay, so the question is, why the hell the rest of you don't?
No. Oh, that was the end of that? Oh, because I was going to answer the question. I have a weather radio at home. Hello there, General. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Why is it difficult to get people, and I'll start with people, but at the same time, governments, because the news that's coming out of Moore, Oklahoma, is that the elementary schools weren't prepared, even though some schools had storm shelters, many didn't, couldn't afford it. Why is it difficult when we keep seeing disaster after disaster after disaster?
Well, we stay in that mindset. Well, it happens, but it may not happen to us. And we've got to remember, hope is not a method. We need to reinforce our infrastructure, and particularly in these areas, no reason why all these schools should not or are required to have storm shelters. And hopefully after, in the days and weeks to come, we'll see that becomes a requirement that they have storm shelters. Or when you start to issue tornado watches.
Yes.
That we try to get as many of these children home as possible. So I've got to take my hat off to the teachers there. They did a superb job of what they had, but they should be equipped better than that and have proper shelter spots for themselves and those children.
One of the other problems that I know that you had to deal with in terms of Katrina, and that is how natural disasters impact people emotionally. They lose their homes. They lose belongings. They lose loved ones. What is your role, or would be your role, or what should be the role of, for example, the National Guard or someone like you? You served 37 years in uniform. You come in. Do you have to take their emotions into consideration?
Oh, absolutely. And the biggest thing is to assure them that you're there for them 24/7 and to be there with them and to make sure that you relieve their suffering and provide anything they need in terms of food, water, medicine, people to come in and give them counseling, whatever the people need. It's the job of the government, starting with the local governments, and that big band of volunteers that's going to show up. Joe, we couldn't handle these jobs without the volunteers. Many of them come from faith-based organizations, and of course our Red Cross, and many others that routinely deal with people in need. We'll see those teams show up. And this will be a big assistance to the people. But as a leader on the ground,
yeah,
you have to recognize their pain and suffering and do as much as you can to assist them. And it shouldn't be about checklists and paperwork and what you can do and you can't do. It's what time it's going to be there should be the answer.
Well, now, like when during Katrina, the one thing that certainly brought you to the attention of the country, and everybody remembers this, of you telling people, and sometimes it was officers, it might have been military people, put those weapons down. You know, the one thing folk were very upset about who were watching it from a distance was that people were looting. And they said, look, you know, and so how do you lead that? What do you tell your troops? What do you tell the local police authorities when they see the looting taking place? Do you get in? You just talked about you got to be concerned about their needs, but these are people who are looting.
Yeah, there are two things.
Okay.
I think we should expunge from every leader who get elected. I will never tell my police to shoot people on sight about looting.
Really?
Because you know what, Joe? People that loot after a disaster, what we saw, most of them have mental problems. They don't know better. So if you look at New Orleans and the shootings that happened here, unfortunately, to people, and the other thing in a large disaster, don't confuse survival, where people are going in to get food and water, with looting. But we have looting happen after every disaster, large, medium, and small. But we should never tell the police to shoot people on sight about looting. Because once you catch them, you'll find out there's something not right about mentally, unfortunately, about a person who go in after a disaster to pick something up that may be of some use. So it's best to control the area, but please don't shoot people. And we need to allow people to get back to their homes as quick as we can. Sometimes we over-control the areas and people can't get to their home and their property, because that is a part of the healing process. And when you keep them away for 2 or 3 days, some of them never get over it.
You know, we noticed that with Moore, Oklahoma, and I've heard that over and over now that you bring it to our attention, where folks were trying to get from work to home. They were at the theater. They were trying to get there to home. And that folks had sometimes as little as 5 minutes before the tornado hit.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And some of them picked up their kids minutes before.
Right.
The tornado hit and took them home. And, again, it's hard to second-guess the judgment of the principal and the school department, but it should be a matter of course that when we go to tornado watch that we disperse those kids as much as we can to their homes and then have on-site adequate shelter underground, preferably, to protect them.
Right.
And I think you're going to see them make a significant change.
Yeah.
Because this is continuing to happen throughout the country where we suspect these tornadoes might hit.
All right, final question, and that is there a resource, is there somewhere people can go who are listening where they can get a list of what they would need for survival, like a book? Or I mean, you, for example, I have here, I know a copy of, not a copy, but an outline of your book, Survival, How a Culture of Preparedness Can Save You and Your Family from Disaster. I guess people could start there.
They could start there. You go to my website, www.generalhonore.com, and it'll take you to that book, and the checklist is posted there on my website. Or you could go to www.redcross.org. Has an excellent list. And if you're a group, a church, or an organization, you call your local Red Cross. They will come over and give you a seminar. And if you're close to me down here in South Louisiana, I'll come give it to you.
All right.
It's easy to find in every county, parish, and state has such a list, Joe. And people need to be prepared because on any given day, Mother Nature can destroy anything we have.
So the key thing
to survive is to be prepared.
Yeah, and you know, I got to tell you, I got trained as a first responder, and wow, did I learn a lot! And one of the things I learned in some of these communities, and I'll use Washington D.C. as example, most of our firefighters and some of our policemen live several states away.
Yes, sir.
And I'm very serious. They live in North Carolina. They live in Pennsylvania. I remember our instructor said, I'm going to tell you, if the bridge went out leading into Washington, we wouldn't be able to get to you.
Joe, I'm leading a campaign that would say we need to build that culture of preparedness. We need to make sure our kids know what to do by teaching it and integrating it in the school system. And we need to start reinforcing the people to learn first aid.
Yes.
Because if you know first aid,
yep,
you may participate in one of the ultimate human experience, and that is to save somebody
yep
else's life.
I'm an old Boy Scout. I say that proudly. And I got one of the first things I got was my first aid merit badge, General.
Yes, sir.
That's
yes,
right.
Sir.
And it's still, you know, still lessons that I still know to this day. You're absolutely, and that's one of the things they taught us in the responders class was first aid and what to have, what not to have, you know, that type of thing. Medication. I'm thinking right now. Yeah, think of the people at Moore, and here's something that they might talk about, but I remember this, is, and you saw this in New Orleans, and we see it in all disasters. Let's say you're diabetic.
Yes.
And there's no drugstore. Where do you get your medication?
Yep.
Yeah, all of that.
Yes.
Okay, the book is Survival, how a culture of preparedness can save you and your family from disaster. And so we'll put this up on our website and on my Facebook, and people can go there and they can go to your website. And if they want to get you in as a lecturer, a church organization, it really needs to be part of our culture. General Honore, always good to talk to you.
And get that survival kit. Get that thing so you got it with a copy of your important papers, too, because if you survive the disaster, the hard part is recovery. And if you don't have copies of your papers, it's going to make it harder to do, Joe.
That's another thing, too. You're absolutely right. You got to have them somewhere where you can get to them, even if you've got to mail them out of the state to a relative or a friend. Yeah.
But those thumb drives, those young kids can make you a thumb drive.
That's right.
And give granny
that's
a
right.
thumb drive.
That's right. Give granny thank you for bringing me up to date, General. That's right. You can keep a thumb drive in your purse. Absolutely. Thank you so much. Appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
And let's help if we can.
All right. You're absolutely right.
Donation.